Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God bring a man from Los Angeles and a woman from Holland together in such a way that the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread throughout Polynesia and Asia? This is the story of David and Lydia Hall. Their ministry has included pioneering Youth with a Mission, YWAM, in Samoa in 1974, producing weekly radio programs, reaching Korean fishermen, and opening a Christian bookstore in Nu'u'uli. David and Lydia also pioneered YWAM in Singapore, ran a Christian radio station in Hilo, Hawaii, and mission projects based in Auckland, New Zealand, the past 20 years. All to reach one more person, just like you, dear friend, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, a person like you. That's why we have this radio show. And we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you. The reason is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, that you might know the hope that is found in Jesus. My friend, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling or facing, no matter how down you might feel or how bad it might be, there is always hope in Jesus. In Christ, who loves you so much, dear one, that he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Can you hear him? Can you hear his voice? Do you feel the movement of the Spirit of God drawing you closer to Jesus? Can you hear him calling you? It's our prayer and our hope, dear one, that you would open your heart to Christ. And David and Lydia Hall have seen many, many come to Jesus through their years of ministry. As they've served as members of the leadership team, even now, of Pacific Two Nations in New Zealand. David graduated from Vanguard University in Southern California. They've been involved in various mission projects in Tonga, Fiji, the Cook Islands, the Marshall Islands, and Indonesia. They serve on the leadership team of Pacific Two Nations. David and Lydia have two children, Jonathan and Leilani. David, Lydia, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Great to be with you again, and great to be back in Aloha Land.
David, where did you grow up in Los Angeles?
I grew up in the Crenshaw area, and then we moved out to Anaheim when I was about 8, mm-hmm. and lived there for a number of years. And then when I was 14, almost 15, I moved to Wahiawa, Oahu, Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Leilua for a couple of years.
What brought you to Hawaii?
Well, my sister and brother-in-law were recently put in as pastors of a church in Wahiawa. And my sister always got homesick for family. And so she invited anybody that could to come. And my folks struggled to get along well with each other. And I thought, hey, this is a great way to get out of the house and see the world. So I did. I took him up on the offer. I was a freshman at Leilua, and it was a wonderful experience to be in Hawaii and meet so many wonderful people from many different cultures. And that was sort of my introduction to cross-cultural work.
How about you, Lydia, in Holland?
I was born in Holland, and I lived in a place called Zeist, which is part of the province of Utrecht in the central part of Holland. And my parents had immigrated from Indonesia to Holland. Indonesia was once governed by the Dutch government, and when they got their freedom, all of the Europeans had to leave, which included my mom and dad. So they moved to Holland, and that's where my brother and I were born. And when I was about 9 years old, we immigrated to California and lived there in Camarillo. Hmm. And that's where I went to school and high school.
Who influenced you most, Lydia, in your growing up years?
I would say that it has been my mother that has influenced me the most. She had always had a hunger for the things of God, but didn't have anybody to really mentor her until much later on in life. And so when we immigrated to California, we went to see a movie by T.L. Osborne that was held at one of the churches, and we went to see that, and my mother rededicated her life to the Lord at that time, and it was shortly after that, it had a domino effect on my dad, as well as my brother and myself, and we all became Christians. I think it was through her prayers, it was through her, what she modeled, Jesus to me, and just she was my champion, that championed me to be all that God wanted me to be. So mm-hmm. I would say my mother influenced me a lot.
How about you, David?
Well, my folks had a significant influence on my life as I was growing up, and each of my siblings as well. I have a brother and two sisters, and as a youngster, my roommate, my brother, was involved in drugs and a gang and doing a lot of stuff he shouldn't have been doing. And that really bothered my folks. They were praying for him and encouraged others to pray for him. And so I started praying for him. And in that context, I guess it was around that time the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. And I remember there was an altar call at our church, and I felt like I wanted to respond, and so I raised my hand, but then I felt tricked because the speaker said, okay, all of you that raised your hand, come forward. Hmm. Well, that's not what I had agreed to. And so I chickened out like Peter, and I didn't go forward. And even later on, afterwards, my dad, I guess he was looking around and saw that I had raised my hand. He was probably praying for us, and he said, didn't you raise your hand? And I denied it. But shortly after that, I don't know exactly how long, there was another altar call, and this time it was like the Spirit of God was moving so strong and convicting me, and it was almost like a magnet picked me up out of my seat, and I practically ran down to the altar, just cried my heart out to the Lord. So that was quite a change that took place in my life at that particular stage. And shortly after that, as I started praying with more sincerity and intelligence for my brother and his conversion, he got busted for sales and possession of drugs, and in jail in Los Angeles, he surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus.
Hmm. Hmm. What was
and he's the one that started Teen Challenge here in Hawaii. Ah. Some of you may know him from that. So, yeah, he was here for many years ministering through that wonderful ministry of Teen Challenge.
Now, this was about the time of the Jesus movement?
Well, not when I first came to the Lord, but when I came back to Hawaii after Bible school and university, that would have been in June of 1970. And so, yes, that was in the heart of the Jesus movement, and we saw many, many young people come to the Lord in many communities throughout Oahu and Maui and other parts of Hawaii as well. Yeah.
What did it feel like being a part of a movement of God at that time?
It was a wonderful joy. You know, when the Bible says that when one comes to the Lord, the angels in heaven start rejoicing. I forget if the number, but, you know, it's a lot of rejoicing that takes place. And if that happens in heaven, well, certainly we can be rejoiceful when any one person comes to the Lord. And during that season, it was like a river flowing that was getting higher and higher, and it just was a tremendous experience to see God work through many people and drawing people to the Lord Jesus. And a lot of the young people themselves were the real evangelists and witness to their friends and at school or the military bases or the neighborhoods, wherever, you know. And it was an exciting time to see what God was doing. One of the tools that we had in those days was the Open Door Coffee House in Waikiki, and that was going for about 5 years, and many people came to the Lord through that setting as well.
You're listening to David and Lydia Hall, missionaries, lifelong missionaries to Polynesia and Asia. And they're here with us today, sharing heart to heart with you. I can't help but to think, maybe you're wondering, maybe you're saying, Danny, you've got to ask them. I mean, we've heard Lydia's story, just a little bit about where she grew up and David, but I'm wondering how they met. And so when we come back from our break, David and Lydia, I'm just setting you up right now. That's what we want to know. We want to know, how did God bring you together? How does God bring people together? How does God interface lives? How does God's fingerprints and how does his handiwork move in our lives relationally? Does he bring people in our lives to influence us? And does he bring people in our lives to encourage us, maybe even correct us? Perhaps today, someone you haven't spoken to in a while or maybe never met, the Lord has brought them into your life. Is there a purpose? Dear one, I believe there is. And I believe there's a reason why we're with David and Lydia today. And the Lord will reveal more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, that's right. David Hall was part of the Jesus Movement in the early 70s in Hawaii as a leader of Teen Challenge. Today, David and Lydia Hall are missionaries in New Zealand. In fact, you can find out more about them at across.co.nz. Again, across.co.nz. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, and we're grateful that you're with us today. Thank you for sharing in this time, this precious time, with us. I believe it's going to be a blessing. It is a blessing to have David and Lydia Hall with us. Suzanne, you know what I'm eager to hear. I'm sure others are eager to hear.
I know I'm eager to hear. I would like to know, David and Lydia, how did you meet and where?
Well, we met when I was 15 years old at a Youth with a Mission outreach in San Fernando Valley. And Dave was my leader of the team. And we used to go knocking on doors and talking to people about Jesus. I was a bit shy, and so I would tell Dave, well, you do the talking and I'll do the praying. And on the last day that we went knocking on doors, the Lord gave us the privilege and the honor of leading a young girl to the Lord. And it was after that that God just confirmed my calling and my purpose in life, that he was calling me to missions. I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know how that was going to work out, but I just was trusting the Lord and trying to be obedient in what he was asking of me. And so in the evening times, we would have lectures, and I remember seeing Dave's back of his head, and I thought to myself, if I ever get married, this is the kind of guy I would like to be married to, not knowing or even thinking that that would even be possible, that I would one day end up marrying him. And so the following year, we met again at a YWAM outreach, but we didn't really interact because we were in different parts of the city in San Francisco. And then again, we met at another outreach the following year. And so I was getting ready to graduate from high school. And we met in Costa Mesa, California. And I thought, well, our 3 years have gone by and he hasn't shown any interest in me. So I don't think he's really interested in me at all. So, but he actually approached me and asked me if I would like to go out for dinner. And I thought, wow, he's finally starting to notice me. And and I did. So I said, okay, yeah, that sounds like a wonderful idea. And as we were driving around to find a place to eat, we arrived at the restaurant. And just as we stepped into the restaurant, I remembered that I had signed a paper with YWAM promising that I wouldn't watch TV that week. I wouldn't date, but that I would fully focus on serving the Lord on outreach during this time. And so I mentioned it to Dave, and I said to him, you know, I signed this paper. And but then in the meantime, I'm thinking, well, the Lord knew I've been trying to get to know this guy for a long time. And for some reason, I thought, no, I'm not any better than anybody else. I signed that paper. I need to be true to that. And so I asked him to take me home to where I was billeted for that week of outreach. And I remember going to bed, that before I went to bed, you know, I said, Lord, this was really, really hard. I said, you know that I like this guy. I have feelings for him. And here was a wonderful opportunity for me to get to meet him and get to know him and ask him questions. And then I signed this paper, and maybe one day you'll let me know why I did this, and maybe I'll never know, but I choose to trust in you that you know what is best for me. And I remember going to sleep that night thinking that God was pleased with me, and it was a wonderful feeling. And it wasn't until 6.5 years later, yes, you heard right, 6.5 years later, I ran into him at a Bill Gothard seminar at the Long Beach Arena. My brother and I were walking. It was during the break time. We were walking towards one of the stores. And I said to my brother, I said, there's a guy sitting over there that looks very familiar to me, like I've seen him somewhere before. And my brother, he's a big guy. He said, well, let's turn around and see if we know him from somewhere. And as we turned around, it just dawned on me who it was. And as we got closer, I asked him, I said, aren't you Dave Hall? To which he replied, yes. He says, but who are you? And I was I was so embarrassed. I thought, this is not how it goes in the movies. In the movies, it just makes it so romantic and everything. But that's not how it ended up being for me. But he was at that time working in Samoa with YWAM. And when he mentioned YWAM, it just brought back a flood full of wonderful memories. And I also remembered that God had confirmed that he was calling me into missions. And so it was not a mistake that I should run into Dave.
And Dave, how about you? What?
Well, wait a minute. Well, Danny, are they going to leave us there? Wait a minute.
That's why I'm asking. I want Dave to come in and
go.
Fill us in.
Yeah, well, there's always two sides to a story, isn't there? You know, as I had always wanted to go to this Basic Youth Complex seminar, but he never came to Hawaii. He certainly wasn't going to come to Samoa. So I found out that if I just delayed my trip from going from Southern California to Samoa by 1 week, that I could go to this. So I worked it out with the airlines to delay it a week. And on the Friday afternoon break, he had been teaching on relationships. And I found myself inside this arena at the foot of the stairs, looking up at these hundreds of people flooding down the stairs. And this thought was going through my mind that I just couldn't get rid of. You're going to meet the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with any minute now. And I thought, wow, I'm either going crazy or the devil's sure after me today. You know, I thought, this can't be. So I literally walked outside and tried to forget it. And sat down on the bench when this couple walks by, and I thought they were a couple. You know, I didn't know they were brother and sister. And so when she asked me, aren't you Dave Hall? I didn't want to sound too excited, you know, because of what I had been thinking inside. So I tried to act, you know, like it's no big deal. Yeah, who are you? And anyways, we talked for a few minutes, and I asked if she wanted to sit next to me during the next session. So she did, and I found out that Andre Crouch was singing in her hometown in Ventura the next night, so I asked her if I could take her home and we'd go to the concert together. And I used to sing in Andre's choir many years ago, and so it was an easy ask, and took her to the concert, met her parents, and Monday I was supposed to leave for Samoa. So when I said goodbye to her this time, I knew I didn't want to say goodbye because I really wanted to get to know her. And I didn't know whether I'd be on that plane or not, but I called Lauren Cunningham and said, hey, I think God may be doing something here. Could I have a little bit more time? He said, yeah, but call the team in Samoa. So I did the same. And of course, they were all in agreement that it was okay to spend this time. And so anyways, I worked on the Bibles for Mexico project for the next 3 months during the week while I went up and stayed with my cousin in the Ventura area and spent some time with Lydia getting to know her. And we were married in January, which was about a little over 3 months after that Basic Youth Conflicts.
Wow.
And we had a bit of a honeymoon in Hawaii with our reception at Kalihi Union Church. And then we were off to Samoa, and the rest is history.
And we just celebrated 40 years on January 15th, 2017.
Oh, congratulations. What an amazing, beautiful story.
Oh, thank you.
David, thank you for telling the other part of it.
I could have left you hanging there.
Oh, man.
We enjoy telling that story and have had the privilege of doing so in many settings over the years. So. Sometimes it'll take us an hour to get through that. So you've got the reduced version today. Mm.
Well, David mentioned Samoa, and he mentioned, Lydia mentioned being called as a missionary. She knew that early as a teen. And the Lord, as you can very well hear, orchestrated things, certainly not in the way they planned, but when God began to move, there was a suppleness in their hearts, an openness of spirit to move as God has led. And I would say that there is a certain level of openness to God, shall we say, in the way that God prepared their hearts at that time in their lives, how he was preparing for what he was going to do in the ensuing years. You're listening to David and Lydia Hall, missionaries with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. When we come back from our break, how did God lead them to Samoa? And did they have a sense in mind of the magnitude of what YWAM would be today in the 21st century? I wonder, dear one. If you ever wonder the impact, even so, the implications of what God is doing now, it might seem like a seed that's just beginning to grow. You might not even see much of what's taking place, but God sees 40 years from now, 80 years from now, even years that we might not even be able to see ourselves, of what he's planning to do in and through your life. Hear more from Dave and Lydia Hall when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Here
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Oh, I feel inspired. I'm inspired. Inspired for what? You say, Danny, inspired. Well, I'm inspired. I'm inspired to obey God. Sometimes I wonder how much I've missed because I tried to do things on my own. How about you? Have you tried to do things on your own and maybe taste a little bit of what God had in store or a little bit of what God does when we obey Him and see, oh, I wish we would have followed Him earlier? David and Lydia Hall, they set an example for me, for us, about obedience to God, even in the early years of life and marriage. And oh, you can hear today the things that God has done in and through them, throughout Asia and Polynesia. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. You can find out more about David and Lydia Hall at across.co.nz. Again, across.co.nz. David, Lydia, when did God lead you to pioneer YWAM Samoa? And when He did you have a sense of the magnitude of what God would do through YWAM today?
Good questions, Danny. You're a good interviewer. To go back a little bit, during the time I was with Teen Challenge, I wasn't married yet, but we were involved in a lot of the drug scene, seeing many young people that were rebellious and so forth come to know the Lord. You could say it was in the height of the Jesus movement. And I realized that while Teen Challenge was very effective and there were many other good ministries in Hawaii, there's a lot that we couldn't accomplish just on our own. And I felt that YWAM was needed here and could influence young people and disciple them in ways that, at least in Teen Challenge, we were not focusing on. And so I invited YWAM to come to Hawaii with an outreach team. They came in the early 70s, and for a couple of years, Teen Challenge legally sponsored them and provided not only the invitation, but opened many doors for them until they came to get established here. And it was also during that time that I was occasionally doing interviews on another Christian radio station with different people that would be coming through. So people like Winky Pratney, Lauren Cunningham, and so forth. And I remember a guy from Switzerland was talking about a ship and how YWAM was going to use the ship for medical purposes and so forth. And I got so excited that I felt like, wow, this is something that I could do. And it wasn't long after that I went out for a hamburger at the Kahala Mall with the pastor at First Assembly at that time, Sam Sasser. He was a good family friend from way back, and he and his wife and I sat, and as we ate those delicious hamburgers, I mentioned to him that I was thinking about putting in a resignation from Teen Challenge to be more involved in frontline missions. But I didn't know where or what that might involve. And I hardly got it out of my mouth that I was thinking of making a move like that. And he said, well, why don't you go down to Samoa and pray about starting some sort of a youth ministry there? And it was almost like he had premeditated it. And so I responded with a similar, as if I had premeditated it. I said, no, Sam, I'm not really interested. And 3 months later, the same thing happened, and he asked me to pray about going down to that part of the world, and I again said, no, I'm just not particularly interested. And another 3 months went by. This time it was on New Year's Day, 1974, and we were at my brother's house in Kaneohe playing a game of Risk. You know, you're trying to conquer the world. And in the course of trying to conquer the world over a game of Risk, he brings it up a third time. He says, why don't you pray about going down to Samoa and start some sort of a youth ministry there? Well, I was actually planning to go to New Zealand at that time, and the Lord closed the door by holding up my visa by 1 hour. My visa was going to be hand-delivered by the pilot of a Pan Am airplane that was on its way to New Zealand, and it was all arranged for me to pick it up from the pilot at the Honolulu airport, but that plane was delayed out of San Diego by an hour. And so I couldn't get that visa. And so I spent the next 3 days, as the team went on to New Zealand, I spent 3 days fasting and praying, saying, God, what's up? I don't get it. And by the end of the 3 days, I finally sort of stuck my tail between my legs and humbled myself and walked into Sam Sasser's office and said, okay, Sam, tell me about Samoa. And he began to share a little bit, and a week later, I was on the airplane for Samoa. So I spent the next 5 years, and, you know, when I got to Samoa, to be honest with you, I looked around and went around the island as much as you can. You know, you can't get on certain parts of the island of Tutuila. But village after village had church after church, you know. Most of them were congregational and some Methodist and Catholic and occasional Pentecostal or Nazarene and good churches. And I wondered, why in the world, God, did you send me from a revival in Hawaii to this place that seems so Christian, with virtually 99.something% of the people going to church every week? And many of them going more than once. You know, their whole life seemed to revolve around the church. And so I was really scratching my head, wondering why in the world God would send me to Samoa. But as I spent more time there and asked that question, God began to give me some answers to that. And I realized that there were a number of reasons that God had in mind for me to be in Samoa.
Now, may I ask, what about Lydia?
Well,
does she have a perspective?
Oh, yes, I have my own perspective.
Always.
Well, as you know, I had shared earlier that when I was on my first YWAM outreach and we had the privilege of leading that young girl to the Lord, mm-hmm. I found my purpose in life. And when I saw Dave again after 6.5 years of not seeing him and we got married, then I knew that God was making the plan clearer to be involved in missions. And so my part was to obey. And when I got to Samoa, it was not what I had anticipated. It was different weather. It was different culture. I was a newlywed, living in community and being a leader's wife. And I must say that especially during the first 3 months that I was there, it was very, very difficult. But giving up was not an option for me. Mm-hmm. I knew my purpose, and I obeyed the Lord, and giving up was not an option for me. And so I believe that was a time where God built my character and did a lot of work in me personally to grow me in Him. And I think that I am who I am today because of all those growing days, especially that were very difficult in Samoa to be who I am today. And I really thank the Lord that He gave me the grace in abundance to be able to go through it. And so I really do thank the Lord. And I have a real love for the islands. It was difficult at first, but when I was there, I grew to love the people and the culture. And so I just thank the Lord how He just unfolded the plan for me that He had all along.
Thank you.
We can talk about pioneering in Samoa. We can talk about opening a Christian bookstore, reaching Korean fishermen, weekly radio programs, YWAM in Singapore, another Christian radio station in Hawaii. So many diverse areas of ministry, all with the purpose of bringing people to Jesus. David, Lydia, fast forward now to Pacific Two Nations in New Zealand. What is the vision of this ministry?
That's a good question. You know, when you look back at history, when the gospel came to Hawaii, as well as Samoa and various islands, because the Haoles wrote the history, we tend to see history through their eyes and think that the missionaries did all the work. And while they sacrificed a lot and did a lot of the work, the reality is a lot of the evangelism took place by the local people in Hawaii and Samoa and Tonga and so forth. And in fact, they embraced Christianity so much that many of them heard the Great Commission, the call of God to take the gospel and share it with other islanders. And Pacific to Nations really is a rebirth of that vision of Pacific Islanders going to different parts of the world with the gospel. And it's an exciting privilege to be involved with Pacific to Nations. And we'll tell you a little bit about the Seattle conference in a minute, but I think that you have a break that's required around this time that we can get back to the rest of the story from that.
And we want to hear about what's happening in Seattle and of course, in the eloquent way and the way you've expressed the vision, it sort of has a way of tugging at our hearts when you talk about local people. You know, our listeners, yes, we could be local people in Hawaii, but there's also, of course, Polynesia. But I think in the broader context, there is that reality, David, Lydia, Suzanne, when we talk about the gospel being spread, the Lord often uses people, neighbors,
sure
reaching neighbors.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think perhaps we could agree on the sense that there's a certain vitality and effectiveness that is unique to that level of evangelism. And so much of it is, we move away from it when we begin to highlight big names and we highlight big events. But on the grassroots level, wow, I just, more from David and Lydia Hall. I mean, the time is moving, and I'm just wishing that the clock would tick a bit slower so we have more time with them. So when we come back from our break, more from David and Lydia Hall. You can find out more about their ministry, across.co.nz. Again, across.co.nz. Lifelong missionaries. They've raised their families. Their children have been born in different countries. But they've seen the hand of God, the steadfast hand of God, sustaining them, uplifting them, holding them steady. Ah, what a life. It's available to all of us who would obey the Lord and see His steadfast love. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Pacific Two Nations in New Zealand. David and Lydia Hall are on the leadership team of this dynamic ministry. And as before our break, he was sharing with us about this and an upcoming conference. David, tell us more about Pacific Two Nations ministry.
Thanks, Danny. We had been in New Zealand about 12 years when I was asked to become the leader of Missions Interlink. And the Missions Interlink is like the umbrella organization for all the different mission organizations in New Zealand. So there's about 100 mission organizations, from Wycliffe to World Vision to YWAM and OMF and SIM, and the alphabet soup goes on and on. And it was a wonderful privilege, and we saw a lot of good fruit from that. One of the things that we tried to put together was a missions conference that would involve as many churches as wanted to participate together and as many Christian mission organizations that wanted to be involved. And we had it at one of the larger Baptist churches in South Auckland. And the first year that we had it, I think there was a little over 200 that came, virtually all Howleys. And it was good, but we decided to have another one, I think, 2 years later, and this time there were over 300 that came. Well, I wasn't satisfied with an all-white group, and so I had a friend of mine that was a Tongan as one of the speakers for a breakout group, and I had a Maori Christian leader, and I had a Fijian or Samoan or both. As well. And when they came in and saw that crowd of 300 or so, probably 98% of them Howleys, they looked around and sort of scratched their head thinking, man, where's our people and how come they're not here? They ought to be at this. Well, they decided to get together for lunch, and they raised the question to each other, you know, hey, where's our people? How come there's no, you know, local people from our ethnic groups that are there? And from that, they invited me to join them and a couple other pastors to join them. And we began to get a little circle of Christian leaders to talk about the idea of how we can engage more of the Pacific Island community, because Auckland is the Polynesian capital of the world. I know Honolulu probably doesn't want to hear that. But, you know, there's so many wonderful people in Hawaii, lots of Japanese and Chinese and Filipino and on and on. And we praise God for that. But in Auckland, New Zealand, we have a few more Samoans and Tongans and Cook Islanders. In fact, many of the different Pacific Islands, there's more of them living in Auckland than there is in that island grouping in the islands. Anyways, we prayed together, we met together, and we kept asking God to show us what we can do, what we should do. And we felt to have another conference that was really focused to the Pacific Island community and had a flavor of the Pacific Islands with song and dance accordingly. And to make a long story short, we ended up renting the largest auditorium in South Auckland and advertised it in faith. We didn't know who would come and how it would work. We went virtually from church to church trying to encourage them to participate. Again, the whole purpose of this is to fan the flame for a new missions movement, because there's still an awful lot of unreached peoples in the Middle East and other parts of Asia, and there is a need not for less missionaries, but for more missionaries. And missions today takes on different flavors than it used to. Anyways, we're excited to see around 1,500 or so that came. And I'll give my wife an opportunity to give a little bit of her perspective, because if I don't give her that chance, Suzanne will say...
You're reading my mind from Missouri.
She's good at it.
Well, one of the things that we had was we invited our Polynesian missionaries to come and join us. They paid their own way because they also had a vision to see more Pacific Islanders going to the nations. And when we invited them, we had maybe about 8 or 9 missionaries that stood up on the front praying in the language of the people where they are ministering to. So some were speaking and praying in Arabic, in whatever the language is, in Myanmar and Chinese, and the list goes on. And it was, I looked around and there was not a dry eye in the whole arena of people, because they saw missionaries up there that looked like them. And so that was just the beginning of what a movement of God moving in the young people's lives. And about 400 people came forward, not to give their lives to God, but to give their lives to missions, who were willing to say, yes, I'm willing to go and be a missionary wherever you send me. And after that, we had about 12 weeks of training of the Kairos course. And today we have missionaries that are serving in Taiwan, in Africa, and many other nations. And it seems like God is moving amongst Pacific Islanders with a heart for the Middle East. So we don't know what that's going to look like, but we're praying and doing whatever we can to make it happen for them.
After that first gathering, did you want to ask a question? Or
yeah,
you want me to go on?
Go ahead. I think you're going to ask.
Now, that was 2013. In 2015, we had another similar Pacific to Nations conference in the same auditorium, and this time it was over 2,000 that came. And it was just such an encouragement. There were more than a dozen different mission booths from different organizations. And again, virtually 98 or 99% of the people were Pacific Islanders that came. And so that was in 2015. We did more training. We set up more teams. This is not a new organization. It's not a new missions organization, but the whole idea is to involve the churches. It's a movement, and it's tied directly with local churches that they can send their own people out into the mission field. And so the goal for this year has been to send about 500 Pacific Islanders on a short-term mission outreach with their local church. And some of the local churches may combine with others, or they may just do it on their own. But nearly 50 churches, a lot of them from New Zealand, some from Australia, some from the islands, and we would like to see some from Hawaii. that will catch the vision and say, yeah, let's go on a mission trip. We can go into China, or we can go into Japan or Taiwan, or we can go into Jordan or Syria. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of open doors, and we're seeing now this year well over 500 that have made a commitment to go on a short-term mission outreach. And that's short-term, but the real goal is to see long-term, maybe about 10% of those 500, maybe around 50 or so from this year's that are going on a short-term mission trip to end up long-term in missions. And so we just had a conference in Seattle. It was the first one in the United States. We thought it might be first in Los Angeles, or I thought it might be first in Honolulu, but maybe the next one will be in L.A. or in Honolulu. But whenever it is, or even if it's at another place, people can still go to it.
If someone wants to find out more about the conference, how can they get
information? Yeah, they can Google, or they can go on Facebook and just type in P2N or Pacific Two Nations. And there's several different Facebook pages with more information about that. And also churches or Christian groups that want to register their short-term mission project so that there can be a little bit of a keeping track of those that are going, that would be helpful as well. Go ahead.
The P2N, it's P and then the number 2.
Thank you.
And N. So
one word.
Yeah, one word.
Pacific to Nations.
David and Lydia, you have inspired and encouraged us today, just in this time of sharing heart to heart, talking story, as we say. I'm thankful to the Lord for the blessing that you've been to us.
It's been our privilege. Thank you so much, Danny, and we love you and so grateful for what the man of God that he's developed you into, and we're encouraged and glad to see this radio program reach out to many in Hawaii.
Well, coming from a person with the kind of radio background you have, that means a lot. David, Lydia, thank you so much again.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Encouraging insights from the life of David and Lydia Hall. Again, you can find out more at across.co.nz. Dear one, you know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. Acts 13:47, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I've made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to David and Lydia Hall again, across.co.nz. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.